there forever, and it's quite repetitive. So the only slight difference with Baba Global is that I think he implied that we don't actually ask the researchers to do it. Let's get them to respond. But I think just for the members' knowledge and intimacy with the issues, if you just compromise and say, on each issue, can you quickly give a summary? Right, that's what we're doing, Christine, and Christine's going to help us. Go for it, Christine. The next issue is point two. We've dealt with the constitutional issues. Nobody has. Is there anything further on constitutional issues that are discussed? Ultimately, the court must decide if it goes for that thing. But for now, I think we've dealt with it fairly comprehensively. Is there anything else you want to add? No. Okay, second section. Yeah, I think that's covered because it says we've got the UN Corruption Covenant, the African Union one, and so on. Personally, I have a lot of difficulties there. But anyway, very quickly, as MPK person, we've looked at it and we don't think there's a contradiction in what we're doing. Of dependence, let me say, effect to enable the body or bodies to carry out its or each of their functions effectively and free from undue influence. And I think that personally relates to the issue about the independence that, as you say, the power of the National Commissioner, etc., etc. But I must also say that I think the way in which the UN Convention and also the other instruments are structured very much allows latitude in terms of the constitutionality or the constitutional system in every country, and also recognizing sovereignty, etc., etc. All I want to say is that I think it is possible within the South African to be served, and I think we must do it, that they should not be undue influence. And I think that is how every government department should work, that it's not undue influence. But that really is the asset test for independence, whether there can be undue influence.
At the moment, if we go to the truth, we don't have the answer, given it to the majority party. We've looked at the votes, and we just think the powers and functions given to the National Commissioner are really not on. But we haven't made a final decision on these things. We're signaling for now where we are. We think they should be greatly independent, because this is the route we're doing. I mean, we actually see it, Philip. You see, the one question you'll have to come back to us to answer is how the bill that you currently have presented to Parliament helps in ensuring that the new organized crime unit that you're proposing, the DPCI, is more effective in fighting organized crime and corruption. How? You'll have much to come back at the end of this, you know, stage one of the sitting to tell us. How? It's an obligation on the executive. You say it, it's more effective. Show us in the bill, compared to the powers and functions given to the DSO at the moment, how is it more effective? That's a reasonable question for Parliament to ask, but we leave that for you to come back at the end. Okay, in reply to all the other questions. Baba, are you pleased with your reply or are you not happy? I'm not sure that they covered you, please. They didn't see, I mean, it's not fair. Can you reply to Baba? We asked a question. This is Parliament, he has a right for an answer. Come for it, come. Three of you here. Do you want to repeat the question to them very clearly and shortly?
No, Chair. People are talking about independence. Yeah. And you are saying that according to the bill, they are down to the other director, that they are in the police service. Yeah. Where is the independence? Firstly. And secondly, if we talk about the director, that means, therefore, the commissioner is still a boss at the end of the day. Right. How far we go with that?
I think, again, if we get the root of the new model, basically, they shouldn't answer your question because they have no answer. So the refusal to answer is very, I think, revealing. I think if we do go the route of the new model, we must look at other options. One, that actually, maybe, the minister should appoint the head. Look, in the public hearing, Philip, we were clear that actually to say this new unit is going to be more effective, and then to appoint the head of the new unit as a divisional commissioner is really not credible. It's not credible. Who's then going to answer, as Baba Zulu says, to the national commissioner, who's then going to answer to the commissioner. Right. So I think if we're going this route, I think basically, at the very minimum, there should be a deputy national commissioner. But you may want to also consider, A, locating this person who is heading the DPCI in the office of the commissioner. But not appointed by the commissioner necessarily. Could be appointed by, the options are multifarious. One, the Minister of Safety and Security. Two, the Minister of Safety and Security after consultation with National Commissioner. Three, the Minister of Safety and Security in consultation with the Commissioner. Four, Parliament. There are various options. So if people are concerned about the union not being independent, we can look at those various options. We're just throwing it out. We have no mandate. We haven't gone to our caucus, the ANC. I'm just facilitating discussion, the two chairs. That's our job. Think about these things. And we're alerting you to the sort of things you should apply your mind to. Okay. Having said that, we've covered this area. Single police force. Now, here in our understanding, we are simply saying that by single, next area then is parliamentary process. And you know, I can manage this because I read up to here, right? Very quickly, August in Hugh Glennis has gone to court, and I think we know that. Next point is, you see, the Helen Suzman Foundation makes an interesting point. If you look at their bullet two, it says that actually the review of the criminal justice system, this is on page 7, bullet 2, was only presented on the 5th of August when Deputy Minister Dilanga came here. Some insufficient time to comment. There are uncertainties over the original state and substance of the overview document. The supplementary document doesn't contextualize the vote, but focuses on 7 transformative areas. And interestingly, he said, the bills will not achieve the supplementary document stated aims and effects of the bill undermine the statement. And essentially what he's saying is, one, the public was not given enough time to comment, because strictly speaking, the 5-day summary we had was nowhere near as comprehensive as the input given by Minister Dilanga, the Deputy Minister Dilanga. Point one. Point two is that if you look at that, it's difficult to argue that you're restructuring the DSO within the context of the overview. Okay, the first point is simple. We ourselves agree as Parliament, we're going to report to Parliament, we agree, that there wasn't enough time to confer with the public on the new criminal justice system. The majority party has proposed to this committee that we consider going back to the provinces, and my understanding is both parties agree we should. In fact, I can go a step further. We are suggesting a date that we go to the provinces and spend more than one day in each province in 2 days, and we are suggesting that we go back to the provinces on the 24th of November, solely with the criminal justice system, and report back to the public also on progress in respect of the Scorpion film. But certainly, we're going to ask the public to comment on the new criminal justice system. We have already communicated to DOJ, can I also alert you, Dion, that we want you to summarize that very long document that the Deputy Minister Dilanga brought here. We want you to summarize that and ideally deliver it in one Nguni language, one of the northern province languages. The Popo languages, or maybe Shivenda, Tonga, whatever. In short, we can be discussed outside this meeting. We want it in all languages that are possible. We want a summary, a sort of 8-10 page summary of it, done simply, and we should start thinking about making ourselves available from the 24th of November till December 1st to go to the province. This is a proposal for now. Nothing is final, but a 2-week period. Okay. Any comments about that point, that yes, we agree with the Helen Suzman Foundation and we do something about it. Right?
It's one problem, and that is we now separate the actually part of a whole, and this is my.
What I suggest is we report back on progress in respect of the Scorpion spills too, but in the way we process the Scorpion spills, to the extent we do, we bear in mind that there are some things that have to take into account the overview.
The Honourable JJ indicated that I was trying to delay matters, but I do think the bills that we presently deem should be delayed to after November. I don't like saying that.
Okay. Any comments about those tentative dates? We can discuss later what we do there, but that's broadly it. So, we can begin to alert Lolly and Bonani and others here that tentatively at least, those are the dates we think you are. Tentatively, I expect, because we don't know whether where we will be even tomorrow morning as politicians, whether I'll still be cheering, that too is not something I can determine. Until I pick my phone up, I don't know if I'm chair of this committee, as you know. So I have no illusions. I may not be around by afternoon. And given some of the things I say, well, or even some of the things I'm quoted as saying,
yeah, or clarify for Dion.
Yeah. The poor fellow's having a crisis. Let me protect my friend. For what it's worth, I'm a freelance journalist myself, trained as I happen to be, with an international diploma in journalism. But anyway, that being said, the second issue is a good one, which is this point Mary is picking up. That if you look at the bill, now can you answer that one? How are your bills related to all of the criminal justice system? Maybe that's a fairer question to ask, because you two departments and really the question we should put to Advocate Dilanga, which you've already done, which is, hey, where is your overview of the criminal justice system? But let me reply for myself as a politician before Dion musters his argument. Hey, you see, if you're talking of the overview of the criminal justice system, it is every structure, let's be fair then, every structure It doesn't resolve them, but it does say, it does talk about changing the accountability. And I wasn't here, unfortunately. I don't know whether anybody did respond to that, point. But I don't quite know how you can keep them where they are, but make somebody else politically responsible for them in terms of the parliamentary accountability line. In other words, I don't know actually how you implement that recommendation. Okay, I'll always come back to this. People want to respond. Why don't we put this card before the halt, if you like? J.C. Sibagnoli, you're a lawyer, might want to add. Carol, you've been especially quiet, I'm not sure. Because you're very voluble in another meeting. I know you're shy, but I know you're a new member of parliament. You've only been around for about 8 years. But nevertheless, please, comrades, can you respond? I think some of the questions are more political in nature. And quite frankly, they should be put to the deputy minister, not Dion Rutter. Having said that, given that the deputy minister is not here, and the minister is not here, you might want to summon a technocratic reply without getting into trouble with your bosses. But I think there are people who, on this side of the bench, JB, you want to respond to that? Okay. Can I pass? No. JB picked up on a very point that I was going to make, that there is a competitive commission report. I also think that there are other political processes, in my view, that have warranted much speedier review of the DSO. Not least the Joint Committee on Intelligence Report, on the Brown Law. We are not saying that there are not political processes out there that have warranted the more speedy review of the role of the DSO. But we said to reduce the review of the DSO solely to that is wrong. That there are other reasons why the DSO would have been reviewed anyway, not least this overhaul of the criminal justice system as a whole. The only difference is this has been brought forward. It's not so much putting the cart before the horse. But why is the horse so close to the cart? That's really the issue. Having said that, Dion.
Because the horse is driven by somebody else who's behind the horse. You cannot just ask the horse why are you here to the cart, because the person who's behind the horse is driven the
horse. Oh, you're too deep for me. Yourself provided the answer to the question. But if you look at recommendation 4 of the review, there are 7 recommendations. Recommendation 4 relates to implementation of key criminal justice system priorities in its component parts. It then talks about the capacity of the role players in the investigation stage, the court stage, and the incarceration stage. And then it continues to say that related to the detective services in SAPS, there should be a major program of capacity building and professionalism. And then furthermore, and perhaps this is the most important, it says it refers to organized crime-fighting capacity, and then the recommendation then deals with increases in various crimes linked to organized crime syndicates and require a dedicated focus by the criminal justice system, and then perhaps the most important, consolidate organized crime fighting agencies within the criminal justice system and adopt and implement proper organized crime fighting structures and strategies. And that is in the review of the criminal justice system and contained in recommendation 4 of the 7. You will recall there are 7 recommendations. This is contained in recommendation 4. So it's directly related to what the bill is about. We say also, the deputy minister was foolish on the day he was here. And it's possible he didn't emphasize enough the relationship between the review of the TSO and the overhaul of the criminal justice system. And but I'm scared because my political situation. So I blame it on Sian. Hey, I think you should see Sian. You're more than welcome, obviously. And you're free to like what you want. Although some pieces are better and appropriate, we put it up in the section. I can't just say that once again. Although I must ask you, how you can judge the mood of Julius Malema, and then he's angry. Because I mean, you have to judge Julius also by the norm of Julius Malema. I thought he was extremely diplomatic yesterday, and quite entertaining in his own way, and quite charming in his own way. But that's him. That's a charismatic young man, and I think people are a bit too harsh in not understanding. I'm not entering into the issue of the choice of words and so on, because he's extremely articulate in English, by the way. It's about understanding that you have a propensity in all societies. Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that you'd have a propensity in all societies to speak their mind more clearly than we do, who are older. I think when I was 18, my views of Alexander Vajpayee, you would like to know, when I was a UDW activist, little did I know that 20 years later he'll be MEC in an ANC-led provincial government. I know that hurts you, Baba Globe, but I'm just saying, if I were to tell you after this meeting, what are you to imagine would happen to Alexander Vajpayee? You, as a democratic society, you would believe it. But now I'm 52. I'm not 18. You know? So all of us, I bet you, Baba Globe, also when you were 18 and 25, had a tendency, our blood is thicker and so on, but all the other, and we must respect people's views, whatever their age are, and we should certainly not behave. I just think that, we should be a bit more wise and temperate in our responses to the young people of our country, and not be too much unduly. I'll be interested in what Julius says when he's 52, for example. But anyway, let's move on. That's the nature of youth. I think one overreacts sometimes to what they say. Having said that, we are moving to the next section, which is, we went to the issue of accountability to the minister. That should be addressed already, right? We feel that, this is a new model that's proposed by the DSO. What they are basically, what they are basically saying in the DSO concern group is saying, fine, if you want to set up a new unit, it must not be located within the SAPS. It must actually answer directly alongside the SAPS to the Minister of Safety and Security. Any comments on that? No. We'll apply our mind as respective parties to that.
I think we would also leave the issue that the Sheikh raised yesterday of, maybe that's something to look at in the longer term. Past legislation that says we should be reviewed on a regular basis. So what I'm saying is it's not something we have to decide on now in dealing with this bill. We can say, look, we are sort of setting something up within that, but we can then review how it goes. Do we need an SDI in South Africa?
Any comments about that? Any questions? Well,
but in this moment, where do you locate? According to the IFS, where do you locate it at this moment?
Actually, they feel it should not be dissolved. But if we are choosing to dissolve it, especially because the majority party has a majority, then in that case, they say, if you're going to dissolve it, then rather have it as a separate unit, answer it directly to the minister, instead of within the SAP.
I was asking the question after KJS.
KJS is
after. Now, after what the motion is said yesterday, if you say let us defer the matter to the other time and so on and so forth, then the bill is in front of us tomorrow or next time, the bill will be passed, then how do you go through that? If we say we defer the
specialized unit being given the necessary independence to carry out its functions. It certainly can't be interpreted as being the independence mentioned in the Constitution, our Constitution, in relation to, for example, Chapter 9 institutions and the judiciary. Then, Chairperson, the issue of ministerial sort of oversight is fairly important in my respectful view as the Chief State Law Advisor, and I do mention that issue on page 17 of the submission which we made to this committee. Thank you.
Okay, anything else on the unit? Possibly the directly accountable for the
I want to ask you, JJ, if you are talking about premature, what does that mean? Because we're in the legislature. If anything that we put here, if you say for 3 to 5 years, something like that, if you are talking therefore premature, well, premature on what? What do you mean by premature?
Who said premature?
JJ.
Premature, I mean, maybe just the context would be that look, we've had the DSO. There were clearly areas that needed to be corrected. We then are now looking at the unit within SAP. Let's see how that goes. So let's then review after that has been in operation for some time.
Peter? So I think that we are on record as opposing the dissolution of the Scorpions, but we are prepared to look at different models. When one looks at different models, clearly one can look at the model separate from SAPS as well. So we don't need to exclude that. We the legislature, we need to look at various different models. We've taken a huge step from disestablishing the Scorpions and incorporating them into SAPS, but surely there's nothing wrong with looking at a separate model accountable to the Minister of Safety and Security as a possible option. We've taken no final decision, but we can't exclude at this stage already any possible model.
In effect, the majority of parties have no mandate to say no either, particularly at this stage, because you have to go through caucus. But what we are saying is, you see, JJ is raising another very useful point. We are going to try, as we communicated to the chair, to try to see, despite the initial huge divergence between most of the majority, most of the opposition parties and the majority parties, we're going to try to see whether we can't arrive at some framework within which we agree to disagree. And in that regard, I think what JJ is suggesting is a useful thing to think about. You see, what we might want to do is to say that given the current conditions, the context we're in, and given the emotion and heat around over these folks, that we want to do something for now, and in the very bill, Baba, that we adopt, we can say, and can we put a clause in here? Can you do such things? Yeah? Put a clause in that says that within 3 years or 2 years, this entire model, within 3 years, let's say, of its formation, this model must be reviewed to take into account the following and put in some clauses that provide for Parliament to set the criteria by which one assesses whether this model is working or not. Now, if we go the theoretical route that JJ suggested, one option is to say, okay, we leave it in the, I think that's the thing Moshe is suggesting, we leave it within the SAPS for now. But both in the bill itself and in our report to Parliament, we ask for a review, and in our report we can expand what we mean. That maybe another option is to move it out of the SAPS directly into the ministry, or afterwards the ministry in the way suggested by IFS and the DSA concerned members group. There are various options, but we are not saying no to looking at all models. But this model must certainly be considered, and we will ask the researchers and the department to come with us with similar models. Change? Sorry, I think that I have not saying. But I assume you were asking the question about can we put in legislation things should be reviewed. I assume you were asking that rhetorically because you know we did that with the Child Justice Bill. Would you care?
Yes.
But I wanted you to inform the committee. Some things I know, but I asked for clarity. It's my job. And that's my job. Okay. I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry. in the SAPS. And I think we must look behind the current situation in the SAPS when we answer this question. We can't make legislation around individuals only.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, just for clarity, I also just want to know, as far as objectivity is concerned, because you've mentioned, you said that we must look at the framework and model into the framework. But now my question is it part of the view of the ANC that part of this framework and this model, that the DSO can stay where it is? Because the department or the departure point, I think we have a big difference on. Because you mentioned all the time that we must look at different models, but then by implication you say, yes, but part of that model is that the DSO must be disbanded, and I think that's not objectively. So if you say that we objectively look at the model, will that include the fact that we can say, let the DSO stay where it is, and see in which way we can better it or look at certain problems and to do away with that? I just want to know that.
Let me clarify that. I've done it many times, but I'll do it once again. If you look at the program, you can see the structure. It actually goes so far as to say, excuse me, we look at point 7, nature of all. Were you here yesterday?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Nature of all.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, let me remind us. We're looking at the nature of organized crime and the challenges. Then we look at the structure and function of the DSO, organized crime, and etc. Now, the first thing we're going to decide on is the key principles, values, goals, and elements of an effective, organized crime-fighting unit. That is where we'll come to a model. Then we ask, in the context of that, is the Scorpion, what are its weaknesses and strengths? That's what we're going to ask. Then we're going to ask, in the context of point 9 and 10, should the Scorpion be retained or not? Then we're going to motion on desirability. What we have told you is we're going to go to our Thursday morning call. This is our proposal at the moment, which is why our program has been tinkered with, because the first Thursday morning ticket...
Listen, I want to help.
Yeah.
I was here yesterday, and I know the program is out.
Yeah.
But you've made a remark just now.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Are we serious? Yes. Is the ANC really serious when they say that? Because that's not what I see from the side of the ANC.
Right.
You're expecting from the opposition part to come up with money. But are you really serious when you say that there is a possibility from the point of the view of the ANC that the DSO can stay where it is? I know the program.
My reply is very simple. We're going to go to our caucus and present the different arguments for retention of the Scorpion, for the new model within the SAPS, and is it a third model of an independent unit? That caucus, which is the highest decision-making body of this parliament, will take a decision. Yeah. But, as for the ANC as a political party, it has taken that decision. In Polokwane, everybody knows that. We are saying that ultimately in this parliament, it is the caucus that decides, guided as we are by policy decisions. But the ultimate decision in theory is this parliamentary caucus of the ANC, which sits here, has taken no final decision. So, we are going to take the argument, one, the Scorpion should be retained, and we're going to present, with the assistance of the ANC researchers, all the arguments taken from the parliamentary research unit stuff. We're going to present that argument. Then we're going to say there's another argument, which comes from the executive, which is put it into the SAPS, and this is a model. Now, even if you disagree with that, Peter, we're asking you to play a role. It doesn't mean us voting against the most, right? You're going to play a role. And we're pleading with the DA to play a role. Let us all shape a market, right? Then there's a third model, which is the option proposed by the ISS and the DA's concern group, which is answerable and independent. If there's a fourth model, we take all four models. We are thinking members of parliament. That's the answer to you. That's how you want to add to that.
It's acceptable, but you're asking me to participate in that model. I am willing to participate. But then the ANC must also be willing to say that if we have good arguments, to retain and let the DSO stay where it is, because I'm not so sure about that. Let's talk about the bona fides, but I'm not so sure about that in my arm.
Right. Ultimately, you can't ask me to anticipate what the caucus is going to do. I'm not soothsayer. Okay? But if we give them four models and each of them is presented reasonably and so on, they might decide, I don't know, to go for a model that you might agree with, whatever it is. In short, I cannot anticipate what a Thursday morning caucus 2 weeks from now is going to do. But can you answer my question?
Sorry, Jesus, Master. I'm not a prophet, but I think I can tell you what the model will be.
Well, maybe you understand my party better than I do. Nevertheless,
yeah, just as on the issue of independence and the reason for it. I mean, because, well, basically what these points under four indicate is taking it out of the police. I think the issue that was raised was the fear of the ability of the police to investigate themselves. I'll remember one that the theatre were not established to investigate the police. They were established by other functions. Two, are the police incapable of investigating themselves? Maybe we can get stats from the police around how many police officers have been charged, how many have been successfully prosecuted. I'd be interested to see those figures, because it seems to imply that they can't. Maybe they say they only investigate constables. But okay, what are the ranks then of the police that have been charged? I think that would be useful. And then the other aspect with the independence on both of these, they're saying, okay, take them out to the police, but make them answerable, as I guess, to the Minister of Safety and Security. A statutory, DSO concerned group, statutory bodies should fall outside of that, either under the Ministry of Safety and Security or under the Ministry of Justice. Now, you know, those are politicians. You know, those are political heads. What happens then to your independence when you do that? So I have some problems with those arguments. But I do think it would be useful for the opposition, for media, to on this argument, that are the police incapable of investigating themselves? What is their record? I don't want to use this oomph and doozy bit of matter for expense, right? But I must say, that's a very interesting argument, isn't it? Baba Zufla.
It is a good argument. But if we are talking about independence, we are talking about independence of a person who's going to run the thing. The person who is there in charge of running the thing and dictating the terms. And the person, all of us here are under the president of the country. We all serve the president of the country. It doesn't matter which party where he comes from. He's the president of the country. We respect him and so on and so forth. Therefore, have to abide by what he says if he calls us to come together and open parliament, so something like that. And we talk about money that's supposed to be allocated. Those are the people, a civil servant like Johan can't come to us, to you in parliament and ask for a budget of GSO and so on and so forth. Therefore, we have to have someone to do that, which is a political head and so forth. That is a separate matter. But when we are talking about independence, we are talking about a person who is a dictator, who is a person who is going to do what the judge and jury and the prosecutor to herself or himself. That's what we're talking about.
Thank you, Chair. I want to get back to the report between you and the Minister of Justice now. I have to admit, first of all, that you are being very fair in the way you've been handling these public hearings. I'm not surprised at that. I would like to.
Can you go there?
Is there a precedent where a political party took a decision on a resolution at the conference, was approved by cabinet, and the official is not looking for is there a caucus based on overruled that? That's what we pretend.
Okay, any other comments?
The topic of the slide to Lynn Jobber. Now, firstly, what I can say decisively is that some of the legislation that we've passed here, I think the TRC legislation was substantially different with this caucuses agreement from what I think emerged from the party political structure. If you look at the model of local government, again, what was done by this apply to many other issues. But I think what we are seeking to do here is establish a particular relationship in a proportionalist system between a party mandate and a parliamentary mandate. So even if, as Peter is suggesting, he can anticipate what the decision is, just neither here nor there, the fact of the matter would be that caucus in parliament took the decision finally. That's about the nature of the relationship, and we're sitting precedent. It's a new issue that's arisen of how you manage your parliamentary mandate and your party mandate. So even if at the end of the day, as Peter suggests, we are going to decide here in this very hall by a large majority, if not more than a large majority, to dissolve the caucus, that's neither here nor there. It's established a particular possibility of, even on major decisions, of the parliamentary party saying to the political party, it's fine, but they've now reviewed the decision. So finally, what would happen? Let us say in theory, if there was a conclusion that it's not appropriate to dissolve the Scorpions, it could well be not appropriate to dissolve the Scorpions now. That means the matter gets referred back to the party's political structure to review the decision that they took. So it is the nature of the relationship we're dealing with. That we have taken decisions here that have not been necessarily consistent with the party. Yes. On many pieces of legislation. And nobody's come back to us to say, why did you do that? And I will look this up and answer your question more fully a few days from now. I will ask the ANC research unit to help me, and we will give you answers to that. So can you know that's the question for the chairperson? Actually give a more precise answer to Lynn. I don't think we can take it further than that, but if you persist, Peter, let's do that.
No, Jason, I actually wanted to respond on the independence issue, but on this issue, I mean, we can label it the whole day.
Yeah.
I can just say that maybe you're in a position to make a historical breakthrough, because I think it will be a historical breakthrough if the decision has been changed, because there's quite a difference between the local government system. You didn't have the ministers and you didn't have chairpersons of portfolio committees telling the media that the decision has already been taken, so it doesn't matter what happens. But okay, let's rest it there at this moment. I have my doubts, but let's. I want to come back to the independence. The independence chairperson, I think, yes, it's part of any government model or state model that you have political heads, the different ministers and so. But I see the independence that there is a difference if you've got the structure and the head of that structure is totally independent to take the decision. Let's say, for instance, in this case, I will be satisfied if the head is in such a position that he or she doesn't have to answer to any other commissioner or anybody in that same, say, the police service to decide whether a specific case will be investigated or not. That I see as independent. Because if you have a head, for instance, say it's a Deputy National Commissioner, if such a person is really independent to take a decision, because in the end the Commissioner will take the decision, which cases will be investigated, so that we can just let our mind go over that aspect of what do we really mean by independence. Not so, I know, of course there's always be a political issue.
Conflict. Don't you want to say something? Yeah. I just want to remind members that they are meant to actively participate and that we have collective views on many of these things. And that if people don't, then I'm just going to point to us and say, you haven't spoken. Comrade, go to DC. JJ, you've been great. Can we all really acknowledge JJ's outstanding contribution? But now can we have others coming? Bulalani and others. Let me tell you something you don't know. You see, if members do not contribute sufficiently, the chairs benefit. Did you know that? A percentage of their salary gets allocated to us. Now, I've exceeded my quota of words for the whole of this week. So members better be reminded of Rule 21B1C of the ANC Code of Conduct, which says that after the chairs have exceeded a certain amount of speaking, then they collect money from all the members. But go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, it is about independence.
how you responsibility to within that structure. That will run that structure, but I can't do that. You must have account somewhere. The minister for a country is a parliament. Because if you can't just be a free person. Every person, whether we call it independent or what, but you account to someone. There must be that. Lane and Fisher, JB, you got any comments? You're coming up.
In my domain, on the hypocrisy of the king, Churchill said that the hypocrisy which he and Lady had was not completely forced into England's country.
Now, you know what?
JB is never going to, but what we didn't hear that, of course. Right, you exercise, but you have the right to go to whatever court you want. So that's The fact that you participate now doesn't detract from the right. And you will do it anyway. We're not naive. But we want your help. What exactly is the nature and quality of independence we want? We want substantially more independence than currently in the case of the book. We're also probably going to JJ Root. I really think we'll think about this. The JJ's proposal that actually we think of this thing in a phase, it might create better harmony amongst the parties, even though we need to disagree. It might also mean we deal with the public in a way that's reasonably consensual. Whether people vote for the majority party or not, they are still a public. And people are agreed up there, even if they're a minority, you would agree with this. But okay, whatever numbers they are about the solution of this question, I think we have to take note of that. What we are saying then is maybe we have a two-phase approach. Let me see how far we can across parties secure some consent if we go to the root of the new model. And then say these other issues we don't have agreement on, so let's not do it in the law, and let's require Parliament within 3 years or something coming back and looking at this. Yeah, we can have it tougher than the result of child justice for JJ and other parties. So another issue for flagging is a two-phase process. Do something now. You see, 3 years from now, then, hopefully the Jacob Zuma matter will have receded, if not disappeared altogether. 3 years from now, hopefully it won't be on the eve of an election, so moods will be a bit calmer. 3 years from now, hopefully other issues that are somewhat extraneous in respect of the merits of demerits of a particular model will have lapsed. And maybe, who knows, even Peter Hunderbos might agree that it's okay to have a unit within the SACS, provided the concerns about independence are addressed. So, can you think about it? Maybe we can try some compromise.
Thank you. And but can we at the same time think of the counter to that, a phase in the solution of the scorpion, particularly in view of the nature of the cases that they are busy with at the moment? Now, I understand that it can be politically difficult, but I think we need to consider that when we receive input from the NCA as to the implications of the present substantial cases that they are dealing with. I'm not talking about the political cases, the commercial cases, that might require consideration of a phased-in approach. We've already, there's a bill considered transitional provision, but maybe we can also look at that as well as another option. Thank you.
Mr. Fielding, do you want to respond to that? It's the other side of the coin. Yeah, we're talking about. But can I raise something also? You see, even if you feel you're losing out in this committee, it's plus that, because we will report back to Corbyn, right? And we'll say, look, the ACDP or the opposition party that raised this issue, phased in applied both of them. So it's good. It's good. Let's move. Can I suggest we're getting towards process, and can I get members' comments on this? You see, what we could do is we can finish this thing quite easily. We've got up till section 11 of our program. We can even finish by Tuesday, come early Wednesday. And then instead of a committee sitting endlessly, if we get a mandate, from the committee that begin to look at various options, we can't sit in committees because we have to go to our caucus. And the first Thursday, JJ is when? Of the caucus sitting. When will Parliament come back? 21st. That's the first Thursday. Okay, it's the 21st. So until we go there, it's going to be difficult for us to come to final issues. So what we do instead is we set up a subcommittee, multi-party subcommittee. With Peter, you have to be included. Okay? What I mean is, this side of everybody. And what we do is we meet and try to fine-tune various options and so on. So we can also go to our caucus on Thursday in terms of various options. And the committee is not taking any decisions and so on. But we as a subcommittee, you're helping us clarify what the options are and what you think. We go to our caucus on Thursday 24th and say, look, these are five different options, and put it before them. See what they say. We might come to a hybrid of the five. So I'm saying, think about it. Don't have specific committees beyond next Tuesday, Wednesday. Then the five, six of us from the opposition, five, six of us from here, sit together and thrash it out in closed meetings where we can be franker as well. Then the subcommittee reports to the committee.
can also think about is just not having a small subcommittee, but including a representative or two from the SAPS, the DSO, and civil society. One that opposed the dissolution of the Scorpions, one that for, we can find the appropriate formula. So, for example, we can think of IDASA to be brought in. They have an expert, or ISF, that's Prince Mashele, you know. Think about these things. So we bring them in also when we're looking at all these issues. But we balance it out. But I'm not saying we finalize, you know, these things we need to think about. Okay? By tomorrow, we will see the consequences from that. Okay. That being said, status of the new unit. Can you take us through this one? Adam? Oh, yes. Status is covered. Is it, Christine? Is there anything new there? We don't think that the status of the head should be as low as it's currently in the bill. If that's the route, we go. Multiple agencies. Now, if I understand what that means, could you take us through this 1.6?
We saw that two bullets are arguing in front of centralizing the data for centralizing the fact to investigate organized crime. And then also the argument on the location of the youth, you know, since the argument carries on the community is located outside of the and it's independent and it provides important safeguards against interference. So that's our text and balance of the argument, but I think it's already covered that quite a lot. And then again, arguments that the new unit will not have the DSO's operational independence, which is what the Cartesian Commission sought to preserve. That was a dark argument. And then particularly important, this is particularly important if the National Commission is compromised or in case of high level corruption. And then there's also the argument that goes to the location of the unit. Because you can't have custody that is part of that violates the principle of separation of powers.
Pages. Yeah, we're talking of page 9. Have you got page 8 and page 9? Are you looking both sides? Both sides. Can you please ensure that members have got the appropriate transfer? Yeah, I mean, I've got a spare copy here, I think. Hang on. Yeah, no, this is not. No, it's a different document. Okay, we've got Bonani. Sorry? Yeah, except that you haven't photocopied both sides in some cases. Is there a researcher or somebody who's got a who's not actively participating here? You can give a spare document to Mr. Lowe. Okay, here it is. We've got it. Thank you. Okay. Have you finished, Christy?
I have.
Okay. Now, basically, I think there's a lot of overlap here, members, with what we've just discussed. I think the argument is multiple agencies mean they would prefer the unit to be outside the SAPS, not simply to ensure independence, but to ensure that you have multiple tracks of fighting crime. Isn't that the point, Philip? Jacob? That's the point, eh? Okay. So in other words, we've covered that ground. Is there anything new people want to say on this letter? No. So we move on to the next one. Problems in the SAPS. What are the problems? Presumably they're talking about the morale is very low in the SAPS. They're talking about corruption is very high. They're talking about the culture in the SAP is very different from the culture in the DSO, which is a culture of a specialized technical expertise unit. Presumably they talk, I haven't come this far, I read till page 8 last night, and I couldn't go far, but I presume that these are the things that Mary DeHart, what did she have to say? She often has useful things to say. I think they're also probably arguing things like that if you take the DSO people into the SAPS, you won't strengthen the SAPS. You'll actually defuse the quality of your investigators who have been attached to the DSO. Is that right? They're presumably saying, what are they saying? Help us, Christine, quickly. Moshe acknowledges some problems and they need to debate on the future. Okay, that's not very useful. SACP says DSO better, so. Ah, yes. There's also this point that people argue that over
side. If you look at the number of cases an average police person deals with and what an average DSO investigator deals with, it's substantially different, but so it must be because one is dealing with expertise in time. Very hard. What did he say? And Ivan Mayer, very quickly. ACDP, we understand what they said. SACP is saying something pretty banal, if I have to say so too. But the point they make is that SAPS is under-resourced, understaffed, it's morale low. That's very well captured. I think that captures the argument for those who want a solution. Christine X?
Of complexity, etc. But I really think that the statement to say that the SAPS is not able
stats. And I've tried to give you some stats there on qualifications, and especially if you look at the number of forces, thousands of forces being done by SAPS members. I don't think it's always about qualifications. But I really think there's a lot of generalization in the accusations made here. And I agree, if there are members that say there might still be police officials who can't read and write or illiterate, there are programs in SAPS to address that. But if we look at the investigation of this type of crime within commercial crime component and organized crime component, we also try to use the best practices. And as Mr. Loger said, there are programs in which we and I think Commissioner Lalla will also address the issue when we look at how organized crime is being dealt with and the organized crime threat. Where we go through a scientific process in identifying projects relating to organized crime and to address it with prosecutors, and the idea that we do not work with prosecutors at all is simply not, it's not on, in the sense that every case that we take to court needs to go to a prosecutor. If we apply special investigation methods like undercover operations in terms of Section 252A of the Criminal Procedure Act whilst we're busy investigating that case, we must get guidelines from the Director of Public Prosecutions on every one of those undercover operations, which is something that's often used with this type of case. So, Chair, if I can give a quick response on this, is that I think there's a lot of generalization here. On the other hand, I also want to say that, and there were questions about the Criminal Justice Review, and one of the issues that had been mentioned long ago in the Criminal Justice Review was capacitating the detective service. And we are looking at improving the detective service and restructuring, and I think it is logic to really look at the restructuring of the detective service in the context of addressing the highest level of organized crime. And I think what will follow after that will be even logic in terms of how you deal with station detectives, etc., etc. Thanks, sir.
Before we come to Peter, I need to say that you here, I've forgotten to draw you in, but at this stage, I don't think anybody will have a problem if you also help us. So do you want to say anything?
I'm going to pose a question to the next person, gentlemen.
But I'm saying, what's the point of you sitting here so quietly? I mean, it strikes me. You see, the constitutional issues, we don't need your... You're a lawyer, but you're not a constitutional expert, so we didn't need your interest in. But, you're not a constitutional expert. I mean, you're not like Edward Daniels. So. In fact, on the NCA, we should have asked you what you think. So, I really don't know why you're so quiet then. So, parliamentary process doesn't affect you. Accounting on the status of the new multiple... Can you comment on some of these things? Yeah, I forgot actually to draw you in, but on this particular issue, let's have Peter first. Then tea and coffee, they want to finish at 4 o'clock, okay? So, in that context, there's no need to have a break. We still can zip over and get the tea and coffee and come back, but at 4, we promptly stop. We're doing better than I think we imagined, given the start we made, okay? So, I think 4 o'clock is fine. We can end at 4.
They also point out 18 minutes and there's no time to meet tomorrow. Now,
Thank you. 16 days, just to make an against our position, Chairperson, all the opposition in Microsoft. Now, Chairperson, first I want to just respond. I will be the first person to agree that there are members of the police services, policemen and women, who really work hard, that's professional, and really doing their best to fight crime. And I do believe it's unfair.
I do believe it's unfair to say that they don't have certain capacities. I must agree with that. So that's on that one thing. But unfortunately, Jefferson, we must also say that we have some bad apples in the police service. And what is worrying me, and maybe Philip can help us with that, I've asked, about the last 3 years, I've asked the Minister for Safety and Security, how many members in the police service has been found guilty of certain criminal offences. In 2004, the minister had no problem giving me the correct answers. But suddenly, in the last 2 years, he can't give me the figures. Maybe we must try to get those figures to see what is happening as far as corruption is concerned, because we deliberate on the corruption issue in the police services, and we're all asking ourselves, who's going to investigate the corruption in the police, besides the ICT, of course. So maybe if Philip can help us to get those figures, then we can make a better decision. But I want to come back to the resources, because much is also said about the fact that the Scorpions are getting this huge sums of money and budget and all that sort of thing. And I want to ask Mr. Billy Hoffman here, can he give us, say, for the last 3 years or so, the figures that his unit obtained in value, millions, billions, or whatever, so that we can make a comparison with those figures and the budget the DSO is receiving. If we just get a balanced view when we're talking about resources and what it costs for the taxpayers of South Africa.
I think there was a similar question on I think which relates to the whether the question on whether the SASCAN investigate itself. I just don't know what is the overlap between the question that Mr. Groenewald has asked and the general question on how many police officials were convicted in general, which were asked here. I just think tomorrow will be a bit soon, but at the latest during next week, and I'll try and get all of the questions.
Sorry, Jay, can I just ask for clarity? But excuse me. I think there's a difference between members in the police services who've been accused of certain misconduct within the police services. That's one issue. We can have those figures. But then there's also the people who have been found guilty of certain criminal offences. That's a different figure. And I know the human resources. Well, they're supposed to be out of service, but they're not. Some of them are not out of service, but if we can get those people.
There's a point of order. I don't know.
Can I ask a question? I mean, the issue was to try the question of were the police capable of investigating themselves. And to me, in that question, it doesn't matter whether it's corruption, whether it's murder, whether it's theft or anything. Are they capable of investigating themselves? So the step I was looking for was not the internal one, but the internal disciplinary inquiry. Charged and convicted, whether they're still in the police or not is irrelevant. Okay? The fact was they were investigated by somebody, presumably by other police. So it was with people convicted and people facing charges. And I think while we're at it, I mean, Mr. Quinnabar spoke about bad apples within the police. Well, you know, there also have been some cases within the DSO. At least one person sitting in facing serving a prison sentence.
affected. Yes, he made the remark. And he said that he's not aware of any member of the DSO who has been investigated. I think he might say like that. Maybe we must get those figures. Let's get all the figures and then we can also take a decision.
Before you
move
in, I can
give
all the comments.
Yes, because if we're going to get the figures as data is requested, the first set of figures, I think what is important in the context why we ask for it, but also in terms of what you're asking for a balanced view, is that in context of the statement that is made of
not easy answers here. You know, I don't think we simply to say that the ESO has all the capacity is true either. The ESO doesn't have enough capacity to deal with all the complex cases that there are. For me, one of the challenges is how do we build capacity in the longer term? And how do we, in a sense, increase the level of professionalism within the investigative environment? I think, for me, that's one of the challenges when you look at what we're trying to build here, is that we do need to build something where we can really up the level of skills and professionalism in this area, because we don't have enough, whether in the DSO or the police or anywhere else. I think one of the other points that I maybe just wanted to mention was on the, there was a debate about independence earlier, and, you know, I think it is clear that the U.S. Convention of Corruption does envisage a level of independence that is greater than a normal police service. Else there would be no reason to use the word that is used in the convention at the moment. I think traditionally, internationally, prosecution services are in constitutions and elsewhere afforded a greater level of independence than a police service. Our police service does have a level of independence granted to it, not that much in the Constitution, but, you know, in terms of the removal of the National Commissioner and so on. The appointment of the National Commissioner is by the President rather than by a Minister. So I think there are some, you know, there are some independence mechanisms built in. But, you know, I do think that for the UN Convention, required is something that is at a somewhat greater level of independence. I think the model that is in the NCA Act is one that is worth looking at, because, you know, what prosecutorial independence does not mean a lack of accountability. You know, what the law says is that NCA, as a prosecution service, must be accountable. It can be called to account for what it has done. But what the law says is that operationally it has a level of independence. A minister cannot give orders to say prosecute this one, stop that prosecution. And I think when you're looking at what an independent agency with the level of independent investigating agency, or one with the level of independence would have, you know, for me that would be the distinction to draw, to say, how does one define the operational independence as opposed to without diminishing accountability? And I think, in a sense, a greater operational independence does come with a requirement for better accountability. And, you know, generally I would make the point of, I think that's from some of the bitter lessons that the ESO has learned, is that any institution that deals with your bigger case, your more sensitive case, there are always going to be allegations that power is being abused. And I'm not saying it has never been abused, I've not been involved in the DSO enough to make a categorical statement like that, but I think there are many allegations that are made that are not true. I think for me one of the key things when it's building a new institution would be to say, what mechanism, accountability mechanism, can you build in to ensure that when such allegations are made, there is a credible way of resolving them. That it's not the institution itself in a sense that stand up and try and defend it, because it will always look self-interested to you. But one does need, now, those sort of allegations have to be dealt with. Somebody has to look at this and say it's true and take action and be empowered to take action, or to say it's not true and enjoy enough public confidence for that statement that it's not true to be credible. So I think when you're looking at the issue of independence, those are for me quite important considerations to bear in mind. I don't want to talk about too many of the other issues that have been raised, but there was one other point.
state of play in the SAPS. Yesterday, Emily told me that your committee, Commission, has got a model, just like some model that you use to for oversight, a new model and so on. I think at some stage it'll be kit. It'll be nice for the justice people, you know, if you can come for a few minutes to just take us through that, right? Because I think the point JJ and Carol make and others make is that many of these issues are addressed through more effective oversight. And Parliament, this might be an indictment of Parliament as well, I'm not in your committee, but all of us, we're not doing our job properly. We're not allocating the necessary budgets and so on. You see, in our report to Parliament, we can say that what, think about this, what we can say is that we are concerned about the SAPN by recognizing that it's doing good work. It's also challenged, as inevitably it will be in a society like ours with these levels of crime. We can then propose concrete strategic issues that flow from that. One is, we think, for example, the ICD, it's something that's emerged before. Maybe we need to look at expanding its power. Maybe we need to look at strengthening it. Maybe we need to find a way of making it accountable more directly to Parliament, rather than via the SAPS. Come up familiar with your legislation. I'm just throwing things out that you want to think about, right? But it's not just a banal statement in the report. It's actually a requirement that Parliament must act within 12 months on this thing and get the report adopted in that House. And it becomes part of the discourse, the public debate that we had in the House when we report back on this, on these two bills. Then we can also ask whether we need perhaps not to, in the most shake proposals are not altogether out of language, we need to review the whole security system, which I think is happening by Advocate Dilana and so on. But as Parliament, we want to feed some of our ideas into it. We'll do that through the provincial public hearings and after it, but also write down our reports to Parliament if that precedes those provincial public hearings. And we might want to say something to that regard. That even the SAPS Act, maybe the Act as a whole, needs to be reviewed too. About where we are, given that we are facing the form, nature, types of crime we are. Maybe the whole Act needs to be reviewed. Maybe we require the executive, within 24 months of the new 5-year term, to actually come with responses to our proposals on how the SAPS Act, if we can go that far, it can be amended along the following 4 or 5 principles. I don't know what else we can say about the state and nature of the SAPS at the moment. Yeah, please.
Yes, and I fully agree with the Philip's views that there are very able policemen. The central issue is the Troika model, and that is what we've got to consider the whole time, the prosecution-led investigation. And Chair, that is, we've got 100 pages of NPA submission here that are very, very compelling about the need. And I listened to Philip carefully when you spoke about the successes of the SAPS, and there are successes, but you keep speaking about the traditional model where the docket, I was a prosecutor, when the docket comes to a prosecutor, and you look at it as opposed to a prosecution led investigation from the word go. That is an issue that we're going to have to debate about. So whilst I agree there are sweeping statements that are made about one of the reasons why we made that statement about the SAPS not being well placed is because it does not have in-house prosecutors that are leading the investigation in complex commercial matters from the word go. Philip also mentioned the fact that in the commercial crimes unit and the other units that are under the NPA, the police are involved, sure, but they are under the NPA. We've got other units. Why are they all existing? Because it's an effective method in complex issues, and this is something we're going to have to debate. How is that new model going to incorporate the world-accepted principle of prosecutor-driven investigation? That's the crux of the whole matter. The initial bill spoke about court-directed investigation, which implies from the word go, you're thinking of preparing. As a criminal lawyer myself, the criminal's not on trial, but the investigation is on trial. And that is where we have numbers of cases coming short. And that is something that I need to just emphasize that we need to look at. We're not criticizing the SAPS, but we are saying this is the effective model that
question. The other questions I also had in my own notes. But the one I didn't have is there a is there elsewhere in the world where the same prosecutor does both the investigation and the prosecuting? You'll reply that quickly because that's a simple yes or no answer.
I think there's lots of precedents for it. I think the organizational infrastructure from place to place differs. But, you know, I think in our presentation we give some of the examples.
Yeah.
But, you know, the major issue here is about preserving or ensuring the legality of the investigation from challenge subsequently. And I think that's why it was developed in a number of places. We'll give you a few more examples of that. I think it is separable still from the issue of whether it's in the single unit or not in the single unit. But you know, I think JJ's point to the Honourable Member's point to some extent is you know, is even if it isn't a separate unit, how involved does a prosecutor become in the investigation? There is a point where a prosecutor may become a witness. And he clearly can't be a prosecutor anymore if he may be called the witness. And I think that in many jurisdictions is the dividing line. It may sometimes happen that dividing line is crossed, and then somebody else has to be brought into the process. But in principle, that's the line that one tries to avoid crossing. It's not always possible. Just on the issue of the police corruption investigations, I think that now, I can't remember all the details, but I was part of the initial team that helped to devise.
Those things we can deal with tomorrow, and we will report back. We've got two very good researchers here. They will also report to change. I think those things, I'm just signaling to the opposition, and I'm just checking while our lawyer is here, one of our lawyers, that actually we're not saying no to the role of the prosecutor. We're simply saying what form should it take place. And what we can begin to do is look at other models where the prosecutor plays a role without being attached to the same unit. Somebody told me the UK system is like that and so on. So, you know, can you look at those options? As we take it to the URL and so on. So, pull it out here and then retire.
Two quick issues. Does it have to be a prosecutor or any independently qualified person? And then the other issue that I would also like to raise, whether is it in the form of a closed meeting or an open meeting. There was an issue that was raised by MKE and others that people who were doing investigations, the DSO were not invited. I would also would like to have a situation where NIA is invited to come to answer the question why they didn't do that.
Well, can you note that? Because if we have to pursue that, then I. Mr. Abidjaro, it will not. The public hearing has ended for those who participated already. So, you know, you no way in the world are you allowed to go beyond that unless you've been invited specifically. If you become one of the stakeholders' representatives, then you can come if they choose you as one of their representatives. But, you know, since he's here, there's a bit of a problem that he can be given a minute. Okay, go for it. We'll allow you. What do you want to say? Your lawyer said to you, so pretty much the same thing.
There are miracles that happen around. I want to know how my recording, private recording, was found, and I'm not investigated by from the DSO, was found in the DSO office by me 3 years after.
All right. Is that a crime? And if it's a crime, what can I do?
Right.
You know, you'll have to stand for election. The list process begins. I don't know which party you belong to, but but the prospects are slightly better. So I let you think again. So, you know, when you make yourself available, you know, you must decide which party. Please don't go for the Freedom Front Club. The prospects are dim even for those who are currently members of that party. But I hope Peter is back to be passed on. But here we are at the end of the session. So Thomas Langetta takes over from Mandy, so she will take primary responsibility. And we will try to finish as much as we can tomorrow. We're starting at 10. The committee secretaries are pleaded with to ensure that those who are not here are told it's 10 o'clock. Okay. And if we can get it into order paper, if the order paper is not published yet, get it into, otherwise, we're all here. We're all going to attend. We're finishing at 3. So you can organize your flight after. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
describing it. Thank you.